Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, an Infra podcast. Discover expert buying strategies, merchandising tips, and category management secrets.
Dive into the latest spins insights and hear from independent natural food retailers on their strategies and best practices.
We unravel the incredible stories behind the products directly from brand founders, makers, formulators, educators, and inventors.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and thanks for joining us on another episode of The Buyer's Desk. I'm Chris Sorensen, Promotions Program Manager.
And I'm Angela Bozo, Director of Member Programs, and we are your hosts.
And we're back, and today we're talking about all things wellness with our theme, mind-body wellness. So for all of us who've worked in a natural food store, no matter which department you worked in, we either have our own fun or interesting wellness story or have heard them working on the sales floor. Maybe that's a customer sharing a little too much about their ailment, or that one person that returns the crystals they bought because maybe they're just a little too strong. So, Angela, I want to know maybe what's one of your fun or interesting wellness stories?
Well, I mean, I have definitely been asked to look at someone's rash, which there's, you know, a part of that always that's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that you're suffering. And there are some topical things over here. Best of luck. Call a doctor. I think anybody that spent a lot of time on the wellness floor probably has better stories. But I think so many of them are just like, you know, poor people coming in asking for diagnoses and help from a department that really does have an enormous amount of things for them, but not always, you know, we're not always, of course, like legally or should we ever be diagnosing from the floor.
Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier too, it's like, I work in a grocery store. Can you please contact the doctor and then come back and I can help you after that, maybe?
Yeah, I think I'm like a little doubly empathetic from the perspective of like, I don't want to call the doctor either. I hear you, but I don't, please put your shirt back on.
Yeah. So, you know, amongst having fun with that, we're also talking about trends and talking to a couple infra retailers, which is cool this time around.
Yeah, awesome the way that worked out. Of course, Jim Olson, our resident spins expert, is going to give us his tight 3-minute wellness predictive segment. He focuses on some really innovative brands, and it was just another month where I was like looking up people after I heard his segment. So nice work, Jim. I also was unfortunately unable to make the member interview happen. So we had Sarah Super, our wellness strategist, speak to Alina Hornfeld and Lauren Gaffney, who are the co-owners of Mastel's Health Food in St. Paul, Minnesota, a store that has been open and operating since 1964. What do you have this episode, Chris?
Well, I had the chance to sit down with Dan Chapman, and he's the CEO of Red Remedies, a supplements brand. But he also happens to be the owner of Sunrise Health Foods, which is one of the earlier members to join Infra after it was founded. He has a great story growing up in a natural food store and then over time identified some gaps in the wellness area. And here in comes Red Remedies. So we'll hear a little bit more about that. But first, we're going to hear from Dan at Now, a legacy family-owned supplement brand whose mission is to provide value in products and services that empower people to lead healthier lives.
Hello, I'm Dan Richard, head of sales at Now Foods. My dad, Elwood Richard, founded Now in 1968 after a customer shopping at his store called The Fruitful Yield accused him of being a thief and charging too much. My dad decided that he needed to remove the middleman and make and distribute the products himself. That was when Now was born. We've come a long way in the last 56 years with 1,500 products today, from supplements and foods to essential oils and personal care. But some things haven't changed, like my dad's belief that healthy products of the highest quality should also be affordable, that employees and customers should be treated like family, that we should operate an honest business. We continue to honor his legacy, and today I'm proud that my 3 children are part of the day-to-day business operations here at Now. Thank you for your continued support of the Now brand. We really do appreciate it. For more information, visit nowfoods.com or follow Now Foods Official on social media.
Hello, I'm Jim Olson, Spin's Senior Retail Insights Manager, here with a rundown of what's happening on the data side of the natural foods industry. The state of the wellness industry is one of constant evolution. One trend hits a sky-high peak and then is moved aside for the next best way to improve your health. From Flintstones chewables to Smarty Pants sugar-free gummies, from SlimFast to Berberine, each year brings a new approach to improving your body from the inside out. And of course, Spins is always there to measure the industry impact. In that vein, here now are a few big trends in wellness that Spins expects to hit in the year ahead. First up is form. There have been a glut of gummy vitamin varieties over the past few years as consumers who can't commit to capsules happily adopted the gummy format. However, recent Spins data shows that interest is beginning to wane, with current gummy sales down 4% versus a year ago, while other forms have begun to fill their place. Powder especially has performed well, with powder forms of vitamins and supplements up 20% versus a year ago, but it's certainly not alone. Vitamin patches, such as the Patch brand, and dissolvable strips like those from the brand Disso, could very well be the next form frontier. Next is performance nutrition. Exercise has long been one of the most common ways to fend off illness and disease, though its importance may now be greater than ever. Even though 1 in 5 adults exercises daily, the World Health Organization recently announced that over 1 billion people worldwide are obese. As such, the interest in performance nutrition products is booming, with performance supplements up 32% and performance beverages up 7%. And while hydration and energy support have been early benefactors of this renaissance, look for further innovation in areas such as pre-workout support, weight management, and even women's performance nutrition, which is up a whopping 50% versus a year ago. Speaking of women's products, expect to see the continued boom in women-focused wellness that first bubbled up in 2023. Across a variety of categories, brands have adjusted or been newly created to serve the needs of women at all stages in their lives. Teen female vitamin and supplement products are up nearly 70% compared to the 10% growth seen in unisex teen vitamins. Women-focused probiotics up 8%. Whole food supplements up 16%. The trend is so strong, it has even begun to bleed into food categories with introduction of women's brain health bar Mosh or menopause assistant Menowell. Regardless of your personal preference for form, function, or focus, it's clear that the wellness space can always be relied on to adapt to the times and move forward with great ideas and innovation. My thanks to Spins for the data highlighted in this segment. Wishing you health and fitness in 2024 in whatever form that works best for you. As always, we'll see you at the show.
Hey folks, I'm here with Dan Chapman, the founder and CEO of Red Remedies and the owner of Sunrise Health Foods with 5 locations throughout Illinois and Indiana. And they are one of the earlier stores to join Infra after it was founded. Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Chris. It's great to be here with you today. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, likewise. I think it's interesting. We're going to kick this off with, I want to learn a little bit more about you and your journey because you are an owner of an Infra store, Sunrise Health. And Sunrise Health Foods has been around for quite a while. You're the second generation owner. So I want to know a little bit more about your journey on becoming a second generation owner and how that might have inspired you to start Red Remedies. So let's start there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my mom and dad started Sunrise Health Foods in 1961, well before I was born. And it really was out of need. My mom was sick, you know, so I say there's only 2 ways you get into the natural food industry that early. You were either sick or you were a hippie, one of the two. And I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but my mom was one of those that was sick. And so as a young lady in her 20s, which was, again, right around the 1950s, my mom was really struggling with how over the course of a long period of time, suggestions were made of some diet changes, which you know, was just not something my mom expected. She didn't realize that diet changes could possibly make, you know, a change in the way that her body was feeling and responding. And it was really enlightening to her. My mom had a pretty dramatic change in her health by integrating health and nutrition and herbs and that type of a thing. And so I grew up with a mom who was really passionate about food and I loved it. So even as a young guy, you know, I would go to Sunrise with my mom because that's where she worked. And so as a kid, you go with mom a lot of times. And so, I mean, I remember as, you know, even 7, 8, 9 years old, standing at the checkout stand and ringing customers up and showing them where the apple juice was and the bananas and, you know, explaining the cereal and some of the foods back then, which was very different than a lot of the stuff that we have today, for sure. But I'll tell you, it kind of lit me up, like I said, from a young age, to have the ability to help people solve problems. And I liked business at the same time. So I really liked everything that there was about it. And so I've worked at Sunrise since I was a little kid, all the way through, you know, my high school years and even through college, and had a full intention from a pretty young age that this is what I wanted to do, what I grew up for a living. So, and that really has been part of the inspiration for Red Remedies as well. I mean, certainly it's a different company, but in my mind, I'm doing the same thing at Red Remedies I've done my whole life at Sunrise Health Foods, which is just helping people solve health challenges. I get the benefit of doing that sometimes in other people's health food stores instead of my own by having my product on their shelves. But yeah, that's really been, you know, kind of the early entry for us was family need, and just kind of, I love it. I can't imagine doing anything different.
Yeah, no, I have a similar story, you know, as well as how I got into natural foods. And I thought I was going to pop over to natural foods and work for a little bit and go back to, you know, the print industry that I was in. And I found that same thing, is that passion and that love for helping people and helping them through some of those health realizations. I think that's some of the most fun things about working on the sales floor in a health food store.
Absolutely. I've seen that over and over. This is one of those industries that once you come in, it's hard to get out, right? It's just, and I think part of it is just because the people in this industry are good. I mean, where else again can you go? And certainly you need to make a living, right? We all need to make a living, but to be able to do it in a setting where you're really helping people transform their lives in some cases. I mean, sometimes the change is little, but sometimes the change is really big. And that gets exciting to see an occasion where you could help somebody, you know, with something that they're struggling with. And, you know, they come back and they're like, hey, Dan, that worked, you know, and they're excited about it. And that just kind of lights you up and gives the energy to go out and do that another time, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. So I want to go back. So you've been in the wellness side of the industry also for a while. So, you know, there's the food side and then there's like the supplements and some of that. So how have you seen that side of things change over the years? And are there any innovations or current trends that you're really excited about right now?
Yeah. So, you know, for Red Remedies, what kind of got me started in that, and I think it'll be kind of relevant to the story, I started in 2005, Red Remedies, and it was a few years leading up to that before we had launched our first product. But for me, the reason for Red Remedies was, at that time anyway, there were very few formulas on the market. And there were products that, as a retailer, I wanted for my customers that didn't exist. You know, so we have a product called Nerve Shield for neuropathy. When I made that product, there was really nothing other than a homeopathic for neuropathy. And so I'm standing in the aisles of the health food store trying to, you know, sell our customers two or three or four different bottles to kind of put it together. And I knew we could put that together and make it work. So it was a convenience factor as well as a compliance factor. If you sell a customer three bottles, it's difficult to have them follow the directions you give them. Our gout formula, Gout, was kind of a similar thing. There was really nothing on the market for gout other than, you know, tart cherry. So we put a formula together for that. And adult sinus was an early one. Lots of allergy products, but in my experience, they didn't work well. So Red Remedies is, we're a formula company. And I really believe in the power of a well-designed formula to solve a health challenge. I think better than a single ingredient or kind of putting things together in that fashion. So that's really who we are. We're a formula company, and we spend a tremendous amount of energy sourcing the right herbs, putting the right formulas together. I have a master herbalist that works with me full time. Stacy Littlefield's been with me since day one. And so that's one of the things that's unique, I think, about us, certainly at Red Remedies, is just, you know, the level of education and knowledge that our team has. But as that relates to trend, I mean, there's a lot of formula companies out there today, right? I mean, you can buy formulas for most anything. So that part maybe doesn't at the surface feel quite as unique as it did when we first started. But I would argue that one of the things that continues to remain very, very unique about us at Red Remedies, again, is just the level of education and intention. There are very few companies that have an herbalist, much less a master herbalist on staff, that is leading the formulation process, as well as, you know, sourcing the exact right herbs that we want in the right form and the right part of that plan, and then the right blends. And so trends over time, you know, so that's kind of who we are. So I'd say, as a company, I don't follow the trends as much as, here's who we are, here's the lane that we stay in. Our whole plan is design formulas that work. And a formula that works isn't necessarily going to pay attention to a trend. So we know like ashwagandha is very popular today. I'm not going to put ashwagandha in a formula just because the market demands ashwagandha. Now, I happen to use it in a lot of different formulas. It's an incredible adaptogen herb, but I'm not going to change who we are because of the market. So that's not who we are as a brand. And I think as an industry, what I like about that is it serves the customer. And I think that's one of the other things that, you know, again, as I've watched the industry over the years, to have an herb that becomes very, very popular. And I will tell you, I'm excited that ashwagandha is popular right now. It's an incredible herb. But let's just be honest, it doesn't solve every problem there is out there. So, you know, you're meeting customers that are using ashwagandha for reasons that it's probably not the best choice for. And so that continues to be one of the things that happens in our industry that is good, right? Ashwagandha might get somebody to walk into a health food store that may not have walked into it last year, you know, and we've had CBD and we've had turmeric. We could list hundreds of things, right, that have caused that customer to come into the doors of our store. And that's where then I believe it's our job to not just talk to them a little bit more about the reason they came in, but to give them a little bit bigger picture of, okay, this is a great herb, or this is a great ingredient, or this is a great, you know, food, or whatever it is that brought them in, but to give them a little bigger perspective of here's how we can utilize that herb or that ingredient or that food in your lifestyle in a way that's really going to make a difference and create some level of balance. Our whole body is going to function well when it's in a state of balance and homeostasis, not being like pushed or stimulated.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that how Red Remedies was born from being a retailer, seeing the need, seeing the gap, and filling that gap to really solve that problem with your customer, which is like exactly what you said, really excites you and brings where your passion stems from, which I think is great. You know, I've had other conversations with brands, and it's when people are really passionate and know like at the soul level that this is something they want to do, and this is what they're doing to solve problems for people. That's where you really see products that you said aren't just, we're not just a trend. We will be in a trend at some point because, you know, foundationally, this is the right thing to do. So I love seeing that and hearing that perspective too. As this episode is about wellness and wellness trends, it's good to know that, you know, how brands identify that and can capture, you know, those consumers that are on those trends or looking for those trends and finding the right solutions that are balanced. Right? And so I appreciate that. So kind of staying in that same mind of trends and changes, getting to, you know, back to Sunrise and you being an Infra member, I'm curious to know how has Infra changed over the years? So becoming one of the earliest Infra members, as time has gone on and, you know, different programs and things change and your experience as an Infra member, how has that evolved or changed over time?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Well, obviously Infra has changed a lot over the years as well. When we first joined, and I don't know, I mean, I know we were one of the early members for sure. And I loved the vision of what Infra was going to be. And to be honest, that's the reason that I joined. I felt like it was so important for independent health food stores to have a platform or a place to be able to get together and talk and help each other out. And that was really the sole reason that I joined. I mean, early on in Infra, it cost money to be a member. And I know it costs money today, but there's so many benefits, I would argue, that far outweigh the small cost of entry, you know. But at that time, it definitely, I mean, there was a cost. There were no supply agreements. We didn't have monthly deals and things like that. And so I joined what was at that time, obviously a small community, and the benefit of just having the conversations with people. So if you had a problem, there was somebody that's also experienced that and had an answer for you. And so that, you know, the listserv was so helpful, continues to be so helpful. But I would say today, wow, with the growth and the change of who Infra is today, I might still argue the community is still the best part, right? But so many other benefits today as, you know, the organization is much larger and can really be positioned to serve and help us as independents in so many different ways. And I know the story's not over there. There's more to come yet.
Yeah. You know, starting a podcast is just, you know, one of the other new fun things that we're doing to help tell stories like yours, right? Like how in the past, you know, you have such an amazing story. We haven't had the platform to allow you to tell that out to the industry and beyond. So I appreciate being able to have this conversation with you. Getting back to Red Remedies, well, again, I appreciate the plug for Infra. But since we're really focusing on wellness, purity is one of the kind of the greatest concerns when it comes to supplements. So it's like the safety and the effectiveness of supplements. So what are some of the ways Red Remedies ensures purity and efficacy in the products?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, especially, I would say, in light of the last few years where the supply chain, has been a mess and to a certain degree continues to be a lot of challenges out there in supply chain. One thing that I've seen a little bit on the listserv, and I might just throw this out before I really answer your question, is when it comes to brands, when we see brands that have a lot of out of stocks today, we need to ask why. It might not be that they are not capable of running their organization. It might just be that the ingredients that they require are not available at the quality they're looking for, and they might choose to be out of stock. Now, I'm not saying that is the case, but I think it's important to ask that question. I think we equally need to ask the same question today of brands that are fully in stock. And how is that possible? Because I will tell you that there are herbs that I have used my whole life that I have stopped using in the last couple of years because the quality isn't available or the herb is not showing up, let's just say, with what it ought to be. And let me give you a couple of examples. So first of all, at Red Remedies, we have what we've called our purity promise. And there's a lot behind that. Anybody can go to our website, redremedies.com/purity. We've got a nice summary there of what we do for testing and a white paper that's like 20 pages long if you want the details. So feel free to go. But if I can just talk about it as a high level, we look at purity as testing our ingredients in what we call fit for purpose. And so in other words, we've designed our own purity program. Again, Stacy Littlefield is a master herbalist, is very qualified to do that. And what fit for purpose means for us is I don't want to waste a test on something that is not relevant. And an example of that would be like, we would never test minerals for aflatoxins. That's something that you would find, in a mushroom, for example. So I'm not going to waste a test on something that's not relevant. So our testing protocol is really ingredient specific. And one of the things, ways that has played out just again, in very real ways over the course of the last couple of years is we intended to come out with a product called PMS ASAP. And this was going to be the best product in the world for ladies that are struggling with menstrual cramps. And we intended to launch this just over a year ago. And cramp bark was going to be one of the primary herbs in that. And so we sourced cramp bark. We did a test on that and it came back that it failed the identity test. And I thought, well, that was really strange. Things like that happen. Sometimes it's just an error in testing. And so the protocol is to send that same sample to a second lab just to verify and make sure, that it wasn't an error in testing. And sure enough, it came back, failed identity at the second lab. And so we continue this process. And I will tell you that we tested over 40 lots of cramp bark. And all of them, except one, failed identity. It wasn't even a plant in the same species. And you say, well, how in the world is that possible? And this is where one of the things that we do is we use a very specific testing method for botanicals called HPTLC. And that really is the right way to test botanicals because botanicals are complex. When you don't see that plant growing and it shows up, at a lab in a powder form, we need to make sure that we have the right testing processes to make sure that we know what it is. And we found that one of the ways that most botanicals are being tested by a lot of labs still today is called IR, which is not the proper testing method for most herbs, but it's a method that many labs use today because it's less expensive. So it still remains the preferred method. But the difference in those is kind of like if you're flying in an airplane and you're looking down at a road, and IR will tell you the difference between a car and a truck and a motorcycle, right? I mean, with IR, you can tell. So if I'm looking for a car, I can find one with IR. But it won't tell you the color of that car, the make and the model and the year and the details of that car. And so we could test cramp bark with IR and it will show up, oh, that's a car, that's what you're looking for, and it would pass. And we might use that in our production process, but using the right testing method on that plant tells us that no, in fact, it might be a car, but the car is not cramp bark. it's not the one we're looking for. And so that's an example of one of the things that we definitely do. And there's a lot more to that for sure. So we have a very in-depth testing protocol for all of our raw materials, as well as that finished product, to ensure that what we're delivering is exactly what we intend, exactly the way we intend it, the quality and so forth. And so our purity promise is something that's very, very important to us. We spend a tremendous amount of energy on that. And, you know, one of the other ways that I'll kind of frame that in more of a conversational way that would help maybe a retailer think about it the same way is, as a retailer, I believe very much in building relationships. So with my suppliers, I want to know who you are. I want to get to know you, because part of that will also tell me, like, what are the things that motivate you? It'll help me understand if maybe we're a brand that is in alignment with what I want my health food store to stock or carry. And we do the same thing at Red Remedies with our suppliers, is we build relationships with them. But then the difference here is I'm going to hold you very closely accountable, because the relationship is just the beginning there. And sometimes at retail, that's the hard part, right? Is how do I have the accountability part? We do so much at retail kind of based on how we feel or think about that person or that company. And I just encourage ways to really dive as deep as you can on that to make sure that you're aligning yourselves with brands that are not just going to sell. I mean, selling is good and important, but what's really going to get that customer to come back because they got the results that they were expecting with that product or that food or whatever it is that's, you know, on our shelves in all categories.
No, that's great. I think the one thing that I haven't been in the wellness side of the business as in depth from the testing side, but the one thing that was apparent to me is I've always thought of, like, oh, you want to test to make sure there's not all the bad things in it, right? But really to focus on testing, do you even have the right thing? To me is like, was very eye-opening to hear you talk about that.
Well, I'll add in, I'm sorry to cut in, but there's one thing that's other. So we had one batch. So you're right. If it's not the right plant, who cares about the quality, right? So the rest of the tests, why would you waste the money to run those, right? So identity is where it starts, and you have to have the right method there. But one of those actually was the right plant, but they were using basically a sterilizer on that plant that we wouldn't allow. And so even the one that showed up to be the cramp bark we were looking for is not something that fit our quality. So we had to reject that one as well. And I will add to the story, here it is a year and a half later, over 40 lots later, while we waited for the next season of crop to come out. And we have found good cramp bark. Spoiler alert, we will come out with PMS ASAP, I think sometime in Q2 of this year. But it's been like about a 2-year journey on this one for us to find the right ingredients, the right quality that we're looking for. And so, the supply chain continues to be a struggle, and it's, you know, part of what we spend a lot of energy on.
No, I think that's the right place. I think if it's the two things you're spending your energy on is the purity of the product, getting the right product, getting the right ingredients, making sure that they're clean, then they don't have all the impurities, and then building those relationships. I think relationships is what the natural foods industry is founded on, community, right? So that to extend that into your supplement side of your business seems like such a natural fit, pun I guess intended. So to get back to the independent store owner in you, what do you see as some of the main ways that retailers can convey those benefits of the wellness products and be able to talk about things like we're talking about in this conversation, especially like what you do with Red Remedies, and how can they communicate that effectively to their shoppers?
Yeah, you know, and there's an element to me here where I feel like the answer to that is the same answer it's always been, but we certainly have many new challenges, you know, as retailers today. I mean, again, certainly I don't want to continue to reference too much the last few years, but wow, it has been difficult as a retailer to kind of go through the last few years that we've all gone through. And what feels good to us at Sunrise Health Foods is I feel like, okay, the last 6 months or so, things feel like we are starting to calm down a little bit, starting to find our rhythm a little bit, starting to put back in place some of the programs and the training methods and the processes that some of them that kind of fell apart over the last few years. And one of those things to me is also then, how are we best serving that customer? You know, so if we can have a conversation as retailers of how do I serve that customer, and, you know, what positions can we keep in place to make sure that when that customer comes in my store, again, maybe looking for the ashwagandha. And it's a great herb, but it might not be the right one for what they really want to accomplish. So while we're showing them the ashwagandha that they're asking for, we're asking them the question, so what are you using that for today? And oh, by the way, I might have something over here that you might want to consider. And so it's just little points of education to me is the right way to continue to serve our customers. You know, we've always said we answer their question, we give them what they're looking for, and we're always trying to help that customer walk away learning one new thing that they didn't know when they first came into our store. So that's one of the things that we work really hard to do is always teaching that customer one new thing. And yet part of that is even just education. I know, you know, I'm assuming everybody probably feels the same way. You know, we've got a lot of great brands in our store, but we feel like some are maybe a little better, a little different than others. And so we are also educating our customers on here are some of the brands that we really align with. And here are some of the reasons that, you know, that formula or that ingredient might even look similar to another one, but we know that they've got, you know, a quality process in place that is good and ensures that what we're getting is the right thing. They've got educated people that know what to look for and what that process ought to be. So it continues to be education, you know, while we're also running a business. We've got to have good pricing, you know, and we've got to make sure we're, you know, have the capacity to pay our employees well so they stay and you know, can live a life that's respectful to that employee as well. So there's a lot going on for health food retailers.
Yeah, I love that you keyed into product mix, though, because it is that balance of curation and, you know, variety, right? Like you want to balance that, right, so that you're providing people the best options and enough to have choice, but not so much that it's hard to determine that choice or give them too many that they're not getting all of the best quality options as well. So yeah, that's the balance, continual balance as a retailer in that realm. So I appreciate that you keyed into that. So I want to finish out with what I asked you to be on the podcast, Dan. What have we not covered today that you want our listeners to know, either about Red Remedies or Sunrise Health Foods?
Good question. I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's been really fun to have with you, Chris. But, you know, part of it is I tend to be an encourager. So I would just give everybody a little bit of encouragement or maybe leave you with that is like, you're making a difference. That's one of the things when before Red Remedies, when I was just in Sunrise Health Foods, you're in those four walls, a lot of hours every day and every week. Sometimes it's difficult to kind of pop out of that and get a little bit of perspective. But as I kind of look at the industry wider, where I have the capacity to do at Red Remedies, I would just encourage you, you're doing a great job. You're making a difference. And that difference is beyond just maybe the one person that you're going to see today. And that's probably just enough, the one person. But I will tell you, we are making a difference in this world. I mean, you look at the acceptance of health today versus what it was even 10 years ago, much less 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, health is what everybody talks about. When there's a health challenge, people are looking to vitamins and minerals and herbs and food to solve that challenge far and wide. You know, one of the things, Chris, we talked about just before you hit record on this, and I'll mention this one, is you saw that I was on a barbecue podcast recently. And this was one of the fun things for me. Our gout product somehow found its way in the hands of a guy who was about 40 years old and very, I'll say, big in the barbecue world, very well known. He's been on TV. He's got this huge audience and he struggles with gout. And so he found our gout product, started using it. It worked incredibly well for him. Apparently, he had tried a lot of other natural remedies as well as medications. And he called and wanted to talk to us. He's like, I don't know a lot about herbs. I have no idea what you guys did, but that product was amazing. And I would like to talk to the owner just to meet him. And so since then, I've gone to a handful of barbecue events with him. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a barbecue event, but those people will likely never step foot in a health food store, right? Because their whole world is meat and alcohol. That is the world there. And I have helped so many people, not just with gout, but get this idea, this little inkling of, here's some other things with health we need to look at. And so little by little, we point those people to a health food store. And so we're able to get people coming through our doors today. That's just one story of many that I know all of you have as you're working in your different stores. So you're making a difference, I guess, in short. And I appreciate you for the work that you do. And I certainly appreciate you as well for the support you give us at Red Remedies.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Dan. I really appreciate this. Great shout out to the Infra membership and other retailers and industry partners listening. Appreciate your continued support of Infra and the natural wellness community. And I really appreciate you being on the show today and to help tell your story and just talk about all the great things you're doing, both in all of your stores and with Red Remedy. So thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Chris, so many things I love about your interview with Dan Chapman. First, his focus on relationship is what really stands out to me in the entirety of his conversation, both as a retailer and just like, I don't know, I'm rethinking everything I think I know about taking herbs and thinking about the way the companies test and how much I even know about how much they test. And I felt how much he cared.
Yeah. And I think when I asked him about trends, even, you know, he brought it back to really caring about that connection and that relationship with the customers of even looking at Red Remedies. Yeah, they don't necessarily jump on the trends. You know, they have things that are within trend, but they don't just make something just to cater to that person coming in from what Dr. Oz might have said, right? They're providing, you know, that formulation, that solution that should help overall, which I thought was interesting that he came to that conclusion from seeing that gap in formulations and having to give people the ashwagandha and then this supplement and this supplement and this supplement. It's like, here's your 20 things at $100 and some. Can't we just formulate something a little bit better and then also test it and do all of these purity standards? So yeah, I loved that.
Well, and I also really appreciated the way that he specifically called out there are different ways to look at companies that have out of stocks. You know, it's not, there are so many factors that go into it, but at the end of the day, it may be that there is an ingredient that they feel passionately about the quality and, the efficacy when they get it, and they cannot get it in that form right now. And so the responsible thing to do at that point is to be out of stock and to then wait and come back in stock. And I know as a retailer, like holding space and all of that, that is very challenging, but I had not really thought about it that way. You know, I had thought about all of the things in the supply chain that could give somebody an out of stock, but I had not thought like, oh, there's a critical ingredient that you cannot get in the same level that you had previously. Like, I just felt like that was a really interesting way to put that. Cause you know, we're still dealing with it, which is also kind of an interesting segue in that he kind of harkens back to his retail piece as well. And is like, we're finally getting back to 4 years later after the pandemic again, to this place where we're now doing staff education again.
Yes, the staff education is good. Hopefully a lot of those out of stocks aren't ridden from all of the issues from the pandemic. And they are, some of those out of stocks are because of like what he talked about with the, I forget what the bark was, that they found that not only was it not available, but it wasn't even the product that that they were trying to purchase. You know, so that's another thing that I just found fascinating with this conversation.
Yes, it was Cramptree, which all the ladies listening and I were like, oh, yeah. Well, I just appreciated, you know, there's so often we have these interviews and even though they tend to have this narrow focus of like really honing in on what his brand was, we have so many people in the natural foods industry that have just such expansive perception and frankly backgrounds. I thought Dan was just fantastic.
Yeah. And speaking of interesting and great backgrounds, you know, next up, we're going to hear Sarah Super's conversation with Alina and Lauren from Mastels. And they talk about their wellness store, taking it over from, you know, the original owner, Mr. Mastel himself. But first, we're going to hear from Tara at Here We Flow, an organic and sustainability-centric brand making period, bladder, and sexual wellness products.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tara. I am the co-founder and CEO at Here We Flow. we make shamelessly natural care for life's messiest moments. Those messes are all the human body messes that come along with owning this human body in this life, like periods and bladder care and sexual wellness. Wellness is so incredibly important to our mission and our vision and values at Here We Flow, because ultimately, wellness isn't just about feeling good in your body. Wellness is about how we feel in our day-to-day lives and about how we walk through the world, which means that we need to really care for the world. And sustainability is at the core of what we do at Here We Flow, but so is creating products that are free from toxins and free from petroleum-based plastics and non-biodegradable materials, and keeping everything plant-based. And also that gives back, and 5% of our profits go to people and planet. If you'd like to learn more about our Flow period care products or our Exo sexual wellness products, you can learn all about it at HereWeFlow.co. That's HereWeFlow.co. And our Instagram and TikTok is at HereWeFlow. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sarah Super, the wellness strategist here at Inthra. With me today are Lauren and Alina, co-owners of Mastels in St. Paul, Minnesota. I am just so excited to have you with us today. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourselves and the history of Mastels?
Sure, I'll start. My name's Lauren, and I started working at Mastels when I was a student at McAllister College, which is right just two blocks away. So it was my after-school job, and ended up kind of working my way up through, you know, from the sales floor to starting to do some of the buying. And over the years, just sort of kept working up and up into purchasing manager, started attending trade shows, left and came back a couple of times, which a lot of folks that are here have done. And yeah, basically, I think in 2019, took over as general manager. So was kind of in charge of pretty much everything at that point. John Mastel, the owner, had started to retire right around the time I came on in 2002. And so he was still visiting the store and coming by, but he had not been a part of day-to-day operations basically since then. So he had a niece that was managing for a number of years. Anyway, yeah, so in 2019, started as general manager. Alina had come on in 2017 as our need for a social media presence kind of became pretty evident. And so we'd been friends for a long time, and she was really well-connected into the wellness industry and like knew a lot more about social media and stuff like that. So she's had started working and yeah.
Yeah. So I started in 2017, kind of just updating our social media presence and some sort of in-store marketing and visual merchandising that the store really hadn't had anyone focus on. So just kind of took initiative there and kind of grew with Lauren as she evolved into more management. I have a background in retail management as well. And we, as friends, just kind of really forged a team together and leaned on each other in our strengths to co-manage. And then when the opportunity came last year to purchase the store from John, he's in his 80s now, we kind of jumped on that opportunity to keep valuable community resource around and keep Mastels what it's been and will be for the long term.
Amazing. Thanks so much for sharing a bit about yourself and the background of Mastels. I really enjoy reading about your story on the website. And I see you guys were founded in 1968. That may or may not have been the year I was born. So you guys have been around for a long time. It was really inspiring to read how John opened up his store after being ill for quite some time. You know, so many of us have started our career in this industry after a story such as this, actually like myself. So it really touches me, and I'm sure everybody listening, to hear about the success of the store and really the passion behind it. You know, in addition, I love hearing about the longevity of your staff, including the two of you. Can you please share John's secret to recruiting his fellow health enthusiasts to do such a great job running a store while he actually continued his job for many years with the highway department?
I think people probably found him. I think he was kind of the magnet, and he kind of drew people into him that were really interested and passionate about the industry and learning. And like you said, people who had their own health journeys and I mean, more than one person, customers now and former employees have said, you know, John saved my life. Back before the internet, it was a huge resource for literature and books, and everything that you can find on the internet now was here, you know, what do you say?
Yes.
Like thousands of books.
We had, I think, one of the largest sort of health oriented book collections, you know, and they were for purchase, but people would come in and just read too in the state that we're aware of. And yeah, John's own mind was just encyclopedic in its knowledge. You know, he kept up with trends and things as the industry, you know, basically from its infancy and was growing. And we still keep an archive of a lot of the books kind of our elders and of the history of the industry and the way that it's developed. And yeah, and so I think Alina's absolutely right. That was a people found him and wanted to be a part of what he was doing. And, you know, we've had people who've worked here close to 30 years. One of our longtime employees, Therese, she had her own store in Ithaca for 25 years. And so, yeah, just attracted those people.
Amazing. Incredible to hear. It sounds like John's rapport with his team and customers has always been incredibly important to him. And it sounds like he's just been an amazing resource to so many, actually long before the wellness industry really exploded. Can you share some of the examples of how you've been able to stay on top of the cutting edge nutritional news?
Yeah. So as the social media person, I was already kind of somebody. The reason I got pulled into that position was because I kind of, you know, had that wellness mindset. I had worked in the co-ops and things. I was a parent at that point and had been really interested in like Mothering Magazine and the sort of the mommy bloggers things that was happening at the time with natural and attachment parenting. And so learning a lot about that stuff and had used kind of the internet and blogs. And then as Instagram came around, all those things to stay informed. And for me, it's just really fascinating and interesting. And it's a really good way for me to learn that stuff. And so I had been following these things and I would come into the store and I'd be like, this liposomal C, you guys, all the mommy bloggers are talking about it. Like, it's the cool C. And they were like, what are you talking about? It's like the boring C. And I was like, no. It's like this hip thing. It's a trendy thing. And they were like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, great. So we kind of just started following those early influencers and watching what they were doing and kind of picking up on the vibes of what they were putting out, what they were interested in, because they were talking to our people too. And then that's just grown as the industry's grown and social media has really exploded. Those influencers, you know, wellness, people want to be photographed with certain items. People want to talk about, you know, what they're taking and why. And, you know, the industry's just grown around that as well. So really just tapping into those people and paying attention to what they're doing has really helped us to kind of ride some of these waves as they come. We've been a little cutting edge on a few. And of course, like everyone with TikTok, it's moving even more rapidly now. It's just faster and faster. Even brands have no idea. You know, we've all seen that happen where something explodes on TikTok. A brand's not ready for it. They didn't even know it was coming either. And so they're sold out. Everyone's mad at them. I mean, I have empathy for them in that situation because it's like your dream come true and a nightmare because all these people want your item and your product and you can't manufacture it even close to fast enough to keep up. And then the trend has sort of died down when no one can get it. So it's kind of sneaking its own tail at this point with how fast it's going. But some other things are a little bit more manageable, like castor oil or something, you know, a more gentle climb, and we're able to see it coming, prepare, have the items ready for customers, educate the staff on why and what it is and who's talking about it, and then go from there. Lauren talks also about before kind of the internet and social media, doctors like Dr. Oz or someone would get or something.
Well, and then it would, or truly like something would run in the Pioneer Press and our phones would start ringing Monday morning about Sunday's paper and we'd, you know, start writing waiting lists. And that's like back in the sort of green coffee bean extract days. And Oprah mentioned neti pots once and it was just insane. And so, yeah, it's just the social media has kind of taken over that part. But I feel like there's always been those types of trends that have come up.
I love the personal approach of being able to speak to being a mom and sharing what was new and trending for new parents. It's kind of fun because my daughter is a new mom. She has an almost 1 year old now, and she loves to call me up and tell me what's new as far as wellness trends in the baby space. So it is very nice to have that personal touch. You mentioned TikTok, and I was just thinking about how I spent many years with a brand, and that excitement and that panic whenever there was a new TikTok, like new trend that happened. I think about chlorophyll, for an example. We just exploded in that category for quite some time. So it's very fun to have those different ways of staying on top of the trend, but it also could be a challenge to keep up with it all. You also brought up a great topic on social media. Can you share how you use this to create some success in your store and awareness with your customers?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on how your business model operates. We don't sell anything online. We're just brick and mortar only. So we don't really put a ton of effort into increasing our social media reach beyond locally. So as far as what we're outputting, you know, we like to keep it fresh. I know a lot of people check, myself included as a consumer, Facebook pages and Instagrams before I go when I'm traveling, looking at businesses just to see, you know, are they still around? Are they still fresh and interesting in a place I'd like to go visit? But as far as watching, I think that kind of gets forgotten too. And it does take time. And it does, you know, you kind of just have to scroll sometimes, you know, use your store's Instagram that you were putting things out with, but also follow the brands, follow the influencers, follow the doctors, follow Huberman, follow the people who are talking. And kind of, if you have someone who can do that as part of a social media job, that's awesome. If you're just interested in following the trends and keeping yourself kind of informed, do it while you're on the couch after hours, you know, the TV's on, and just kind of, you'll kind of pick up on things. You're like, man, I keep seeing that colostrum powder over and over again. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's something I should make sure we've got on our shelf. And then also using direct-to-consumer brands, spend a lot of time placing ads in your kind of wellness curated feed. So they're targeting you now. You're the consumer to them, but harness the power of their advertising. So they're advertising to your people too. And so people will come into our store and be like, what do you know about colostrum powder? And we don't carry, you know, Arma or whatever, but the fact that they're educating and teaching everybody about colostrum powder, they come to us and they say, well, what do you guys think? What do you have? And so we're letting them advertise and then we're grabbing their customer away from them, which is kind of cool.
Oh, such great points on staying on trend through social media and really harnessing that power of various brands advertising. It's really such a great tool to be able to like be ready for when customers come in and tell you about this, whatever questions they have or other, you know, comments they might have. So I love that. And looking at 2024 wellness predictions, I'm curious to talk a little bit about that right now. I was looking at a vitamin and supplement insight report from Spins. They highlighted some of the most popular New Year's resolutions for 2024, such as improved sleep, improved mental health, weight loss, diet, things of that nature. Can you share where you see the predictions coming in for 2024 at Mast Health?
I guess I would be hopeful to see kind of the maybe not your typical sports nutrition customer start to become more aware of activity levels, you know, their macros or protein intakes and things like that, as not like a I'm here to get buff or really even the weight loss part necessarily, but just like I would like to prolong my years of health and feeling good. And what can I do right now, even if maybe nothing's gone seriously wrong? Like, how can I at least just maintain this for another decade or two or something like that? So I would hope that we'll see kind of gains in categories that have more traditionally been that, you know, you're more like typical sports nutrition type of customer, just become more broad with an aging population.
Oh, really great points. Also, just curious what your thoughts are. I know from visiting with a lot of other retailers, they're doing so well with like brain stress and sleep, especially since COVID. Are there any of those like after COVID really like trends that you want to call out?
I feel like that's always really been, I mean, in our top three, like sleep and stress, and it's the ginkgo customer from forever ago. You know, they're still buying ginkgo, but now we have lion's mane. Now we have, you know, bacopa, these other herbs and stuff like that. I do think that the fact that with those types of supplements, you're looking for a result almost same day, next day type of a thing. So sometimes those products are easier to sell because the customer is going to know right away if it's going to work for them or not. Whereas things like protein and calcium and those, you know, silica, those types of things, you just sort of have to believe that they're working and continue to buy them if you're not necessarily going to feel the effect. But the sleep, stress, those ones, such acute things, I feel like
But it's cool because we've been the experts in it for so long that we can, you know, really have a strong base where we know what's been working. We can talk about what's worked for ourselves, what's worked for other customers. We have just such a long history, and that really is with the trust with our customers and why they come to us. And sometimes it really comes back to just like melatonin. Sometimes, it, you know, it's not necessarily the most brand new thing out there. And so that's why we love to work one-on-one with each person because, yeah, maybe your anxiety or your stress levels are coming from somewhere else and we need to talk about, you know, what's going on there. So
clearly you've got such great trust with your customers. A lot of the trends might be a little bit more extensive for you because of that rapport that you have and how you're just a trusted resource for them. Are there any other like insights or categories that you want to touch on and what you see happening for the rest of this year?
Yeah, trying to think. I mean, with the seasons change, you know, we always are working kind of on the next thing. It does feel like there's a kind of a wave of germs passing through right at this moment. So of course, immune is always going to be strong. I think since COVID, that one is going to have, it was always strong, but I think it's just about double and going to stay there for the foreseeable future. But now allergies in Minnesota here, it's been a really strange warm winter. We haven't had a lot of moisture. Things are blowing around right now a lot, mold and spores. And we're having an allergy customer coming now February, March that we wouldn't have had before. So just kind of as things change environmentally around us. Also, we had a lot of wildfires happening last summer. If anyone came to the infra conference, you maybe saw a lot of haze and smoke. Our, you know, population here was dealing with that. And so we had a lot of lung health people coming in. So as sad as it is to say, the environment is really pushing us to adapt in ways what we haven't had to in the past, and it's changing what supplements people are looking for. So we're happy to be able to support people there because it's not necessarily something you could ever really get a prescription for.
Thank you for sharing those insights and such an incredible conversation with you, an inspirational story at Mestel's. It's been a pleasure visiting with you two today, and I just wish you all the success in your new adventure moving forward. I don't live very far from you, so I'm very excited to come out and visit your store real soon. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
So, Andrew, so great to hear from the folks there at Mestel's. You know, one thing I really love, you know, just from being in the natural foods industry and being promoted to different positions throughout, isn't buying the business from the former owner as an employee the ultimate promoting from within?
Yeah, I never thought about it, but it's very true.
Yeah. And well, I think it's those folks working there, passionate about it, and you buy out the business. It's, I just think that's an awesome way to like transition a business over to new ownership is, you know, from people who formerly worked there, know the business and all that. I thought that was interesting. But one thing they really pointed out was the wellness influencers and all of the things they use through, you know, the social media aspect that they use for trying to stay ahead of trends. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, I always said it's kind of that blessing and a curse, you know, the Dr. Oz effect, right? Where you get all these new people coming in that don't really know what they're talking about, but this doctor told me I need this thing. And then you have to kind of step back and like work with people, find out what's the real issue. Do you really need the thing? Can we guide you into a, you know, maybe a different product that might work better, that's more formulaic or something like that? But yeah, I like I think the words they used were it's a dream come true versus a nightmare. but yeah, it's a truth. It's a true thing that happens. And TikTok is, you know, made that even more of a thing.
Yeah, I like that you call it the Dr. Oz effect. I wrote down in my notes from that interview, like from Oprah to Huberman Lab. And it's true, right? Like you've got this rise of podcasts, you have this rise of talk shows. Like you're talking about a store that has this legacy where they have had to look constantly externally for what they would consider the trend to be. Because you do, like, you do want to be the place where it's like, if it's a customer's first time coming in the door and they just heard about this thing, you want to have that thing on the shelves. Like that is, that makes perfect sense to me. And you can hear how hard they've tried through multiple media sources to make that happen, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not even a wellness thing. Like locally at my co-op, when, you know, the Star Tribune newspaper or, you know, the local news would talk about a local brand, it's like that would just fly off the shelf. And it's hard because no one expects that demand. Usually it's someone is featuring a product because they love it. Then everyone else loves it. And there's no way to forecast that demand. And as we all know, with the supply chain going all the way back to the AOM at the distributor, you know, that takes time to bring all that stuff in and then get it back to our shelves.
Yeah. I got the impression they were doing a great job though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think they're definitely on top of it and they're looking at all the angles.
It was very interesting also to hear them talk sort of this, like, I'd never thought of it as this historical continuum. Before the internet, if you wanted to know anything about supplements, then you would go in and you would talk to someone in a store like that. Or like, as she referenced, they had, you know, a bank of books that they could reference so that people could come in and like look up ailments and make some decisions. And what a shift when the internet became ubiquitous, as well as now this like rise of influencers, right? And so cool that they're still in business, frankly. I mean, so cool that they were able to weather from 1964 to 2024, like all of the interesting fads and trends, particularly in the wellness space, like Mastel's still there, still operating, still awesome product on the shelf.
Yeah. And I would say it's even more important for them to be in that community to help people weed through all of that noise that could be the internet and, you know, all the things coming in, because those aren't all vetted sources necessarily either. So coming back to that trusted source in the community, I think is, you know, that's why we do as well as we do, you know, as info retailers. So it's such a beautiful story.
Oh, I love that. I'm a huge fan of people on the floor. Well, next episode, we'll be focusing on Earth Day and all things sustainability in the retail world.
And we'll be hearing from one of our members, Shannon, at Leg Up Farmers Market in Pennsylvania.
See you then.
Bye. As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Lauren Bartel, brand planner and segment contributor.
Matt Olson, produce aficionado and segment contributor.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, outreach manager.
Raina Kittredge, trade show interviewer.